Good morning, and welcome to another Sheltering in Place sermon from the Berean Missionary Church. For our members, we actually hope to return to in-house worship February 6th, but that will depend on the COVID numbers here in Oklahoma. For what I've been told, as it stands today, Oklahoma was running about third highest in the country, so I'm not sure what all that's about. This morning's sermon is titled, Deliverance Found in the Word of God. Our text is Psalms 91. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalms 91. It reads, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for allowing us to use these technological wonders to once again feed the sheep. We pray, Lord God, that not only are they fed, but that their feeding is a blessing. I ask you to, as always, forgive me for any slothfulness that, or anything, in fact, that didn't please you. My whole job or my whole being here on this earth is simply to glorify you, and I can glorify you best by doing what you equip me to do. There it is. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. Give us this day our daily bread in Jesus' name. Amen. For, let me cut my music off here. I want to call your attention to a part of the Psalms before we actually get into our sermon that's considered as messianic. Look at verses 11 and 12, I think. Yeah. Where he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your way. In their hand, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, we all know that this was a part of the devil's twisted scheme. And it's actually found in both Matthew and Luke's writings. And in fact, both. In both, this is in chapter 4 of each gospel. All Christians read the Bible, and that's a good thing. But when you're trying to read through to finish in 1 year, reading is often all you can do, just read. For sure, this is better. Now, this is better than not reading at all. We have to admit that. But in Paul's letter, and this is what I'm getting to, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he wrote in chapter 4, verse 9, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And then he adds, the things you have learned and received and heard, do. And the God of peace will permeate your heart. In this Philippian passage, the term used actually carries the idea of dwelling. That is, this word meditate. It means more than read, because it implies that we should linger there. Thus, the King James is actually correct when it uses or says, meditate on these things. Some of your Bibles or some of the other translations just say think. But that means just think about it. Meditate just as for me. I'm old. So meditate for me is means take your time. Now, today's sermon actually is just going to focus on these passages that I feel are all these elements, the true, noble, just, the pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy things. And that's why I've chosen this particular Psalms. Concerning verse 3, however, he shall deliver you from the snare of the perilous pestilence, first of all. Bishop J.C. Ryles, in his book, Taken from Holiness, wrote, all of us have by nature a heart full of pride, unbelief, slothfulness, worldliness, and sin. All are living in a world beset by snares, traps, and pitfalls for the soul. And besides that, all have near them a very busy, restless, and malicious devil, end quote. Now, that's an excellent summary concerning the business of Satan, who's always looking for someone that he can devour. And we Christians are not exempt. He can't own us, but he can certainly torment our lives. As for the word pestilence, all 49 times that it's used in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word debar. Now, and it only means, in every case, sickness of some kind. Again, our opening text, Psalms 91, verses 1 through 3. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. In our sermon, the focus is actually on this deliverance from both the fowler and from the disease and from the diseases that are obviously all everywhere, all around us. I have three observations. The first concerns the fact of God's deliverance. The second concerns the nature of God's deliverance. And the third and last is the power of God's deliverance. First, the fact of God's deliverance. It says, Scripture says, he shall deliver you. The he shall is good, isn't it? It's sufficient when you know that the he is God that is going to do the delivery. And as from any adversity, he delivers us completely. We often hear or maybe say, I got your back. But truthfully, we have limitations. God has no limitations. So when the scripture says he will deliver us, it is in fact the truth that he will do just that. Now, we're all familiar, and I chose this as an example because it's so familiar, and we don't have to read all the scriptures. We're all familiar, of course, with the Daniel chapter 3, verse 19 through 25, where Nebuchadnezzar went crazy and with a little help. And what he decided to do was take these three boys that he had given privilege to. And because they wouldn't do what he wanted them to do, he decided he'd throw them in the fiery furnace, as the scripture says. And in fact, the scripture says the furnace was so hot that it actually burned up the guys that were casting them off into this furnace. Well, what we want to see or focus on is the fact that these boys were delivered from it. And I say that to make the point that this is what our God always does for his people. But the fact that he did deliver them is not really what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is that the Hebrew boys made a statement that is interesting, and I think is important for us to understand, that no devil, no sick bed, nothing is possible that can invade our time or our space that our God can't deliver us from. However, we must understand this, as the Hebrew boys mentioned it, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But now here it is. But if not, let it be known, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image you have set before us. Understand this, brothers and sisters, that there are times of testing when we need to go through the fire, when it's important for us to be subject to whatever else everybody else is being subject to. The king had mandated that if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. The Hebrew children teach us this, that our faith does not depend on outside circumstances. You cannot do to us anything more than what God allows to happen, knowing this, that regardless of what it is, God is going to deliver us. He can deliver us, he will deliver us, and he will continue to deliver us. So if we don't see him right away, don't worry about it, because when it's all over, you will be standing before God unscathed. No hair will be burnt from your head. Satan cannot win against God's people. Secondly, the nature of God's deliverance. The scripture says, he is my refuge and my fortress. Now, this word fortress is interesting because it appears in this same text a lot of times. It is translated as refuge in almost every translation that you can find. And in most cases, it's about 15 times. And it also appears as shelter 15 times. So when you see refuge and shelter, you're looking at the same word, and to be looked at in two different meanings. Well, one time it actually is translated as hope, and then twice as trust, and then once the word is actually translated as fortress or stronghold, or even in one version of the Bible, it's called a castle. There are time in your life and in my life when in our meditating, a good hymn. And I do this. I don't know whether you do it or not, but I have one. I have about four, five, maybe five hymn books here at the house. And so sometimes I just take a hymn book and open it up for my meditation. And the hymn that strikes me most often when I consider God as my refuge and my fortress, you know what it is that wonderful hymn written by Martin Luther. You wouldn't think it. You'd think somebody else wrote it, but it is a Martin Luther original. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, or striving would be losing, were not the mighty man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Dost ask who that may be? And I'll quit messing with the song. It says, Christ Jesus, it is he. Man, that's again, we are talking about meditating, and we're talking about finding those things that bless our heart. And I'm telling you, a good hymn book is always good for meditation while you're reading through the scriptures. And I do it just come to a particular scripture, and incidentally, one of our hymn books that we use at the church all have a scripture to go with the song. And so often I open up the book to that scripture and get a dual benefit of meditating. I have one final observation, and that is the power of God's deliverance. The power of God's deliverance is able to deliver us from the snare of the fowler, and from the perilous pestilence. Have you ever, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but have you ever been in any situation that God was unable to deliver you from? Oh, I know sometimes we do things and think we got out of it ourselves, but let's give God the credit. You would have never been able to get out of that situation. You would have never been able to receive that healing. And we had some wonderful testimonies at the prayer time yesterday where we have a lady recovering from cancer and another who has received a kidney and is doing just wonderful. I know both of them, they shared their testimonies. We could understand fully that they understood that the doctors did their thing, but it was only by the grace of God that they were delivered from that particular perilous pestilence. Have you listened to the testimony of Christian people in the church, in the hospitals, who are coming back and beginning to recover from this COVID-19 thing? It's the same thing. Their testimonies are all giving God credit, all praising God and giving him glory. Though these things, these can be man-made or airborne or whatever they want to. You see, it doesn't matter. God has proven that he can deliver from lions' dens and fiery furnaces and chariots rolling thunderously behind us filled with Pharaoh's soldiers. And he is delivering us even from the current tide of adversity. And there are many. I mean, it's not just COVID-19. We have a wave of crime sweeping across this country. We're losing young people to violence. So we hesitate sometimes. Sometimes we even cry this, where are you? But I'm letting you know today, right now, that God is there. And he is prepared to deliver his people. He has, read the book. And you'll see that he has done this. We have this great and often quoted passage from Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 10. For it was fitting for him for whom all things and by whom all things, and to bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies, and those who are being sanctified are all one. For this reason, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. That's the final, that's picture of Christ delivering the package, delivering the church, delivering us to the throne of God. And he says, I am not ashamed to declare your name to my brother in the midst of the assembly. And I will sing praises to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I, is what he says. Here am I and the children whom God has given me. And as far as the snare of the fowler, verse 14 in this wonderful chapter says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same through death, that he might destroy him who had power over death, that is the devil. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and meditate on that whole chapter. Allow it to permeate your soul. Allow it to bless your heart. But you will see that God has put together a complete package of deliverance for us. And the final victory just awaits us. So we have the fact of God's deliverance, the nature of God's deliverance, and the power of God's deliverance. And here is a James Meckel quote that I think will bring us all to this point of meditating. He says, in Jesus, there are riches. I love this. I love this. In Jesus, there are riches. If you're poor, he gives you honor. If you are despised, he gives you friendship. If you're forsaken, he gives you help. If you are injured, he gives you mercy. If you are miserable, he gives you joy. And if you are discontented, he gives you protection. If you're in danger, he gives you deliverance. If you're captive, it says, he gives you life and freedom. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you. Again, we praise you. We look forward to the day when we can come back together in full fellowship. Lord, we know that this is a part of your plan as well. It is teaching us patience. Me, most of all, it is teaching me patience because you know I love being around the children of God. So we thank you anyway, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shalom, beloved.